This is the FCB Radio Network. Real talk worldwide. Online at FCBRadio.com. Merry Christmas, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Gang, welcome to another episode of A Very Merry Podcast. I am your host, Kira Davis. I am also the host of Just Listen to Yourself with Kira Davis right here on the FCB Radio Network. And I am here with my very merry co-host, Amelia Hamilton, who is a children's author and the host of the Growing Patriots podcast. Welcome, Amelia. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. So good to be back. I'm talking all things Hallmark, all things Christmas, all things movies.
Yes, we've had a really great response so far. This is our third episode and we're having so much fun. I've actually been enjoying this Hallmark season. There's a lot of good new movies out there, and I've been enjoying some old movies as well and kind of comparing them to how far they've come. I think, though, I have to tell you today, and we'll get into this, but I think I found a new favorite movie. I think I have a new favorite. One to add to the favorites list.
That's a big, okay.
It is big because I love every Hallmark movie, but there's a couple that are on my list, right? Like we talked about What's the Most Wonderful Time with Brooke Burns, and like that's a favorite. Christmas at Cartwright's is one of my favorites. I always watch that when it comes on.
Yeah.
And you know what is my favorite movie? The movie that really got me hooked in this universe was It's Love at the Christmas Table with Danica McKellar. I think it was one of her first ones.
Oh, and they like climb under the table.
Yes, and
is
Leah Thompson's in it.
I love that one.
That's a legit good one.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, there's still some cheesy set pieces and stuff, but it's actually a really clever concept. The acting was great. It was a sweet story. I loved it. I was like, wait a minute, this is a legit good movie. But they don't play that one very much anymore.
They don't. They don't. And I've noticed that some, like there's one called Dear Santa that was one of my favorites, and it's on Lifetime now. And I'm like, was that always on Lifetime? Or did they like relicense them when they don't show them on Hallmark anymore? I don't know.
Maybe. Who knows how all that stuff works on the back end. Yeah. But I've definitely been watching a few movies since we spoke last, and I still have not got... I did find Switched at Christmas, so I'm going to watch that. I haven't watched it yet, but you recommended that to me, where Candace Cameron plays identical twins who switch places, which is weird. That's gross. Like,
it is weird.
Yeah, you're going to switch places with your married sister.
One of them like has a family and everything.
Yeah, that's weird. But you know what? If anyone can pull it off, it's Hallmark.
Exactly.
Well,
her daughter plays her daughter, so it's kind of cute.
Oh, that's right. I totally forgot about that, too. Yeah. Okay. Well, what you got brewing in the Hallmark universe this week from what you've been watching? Did you make any fun observations? Have you seen anything that might top your favorite list? Did you see something? A Hallmark first, Amelia. I actually turned off a movie the other day.
No.
It was so bad. I forgot to get the name of it. Ah, damn it. It was so bad. I should have gotten the name. It starred Jessica, what's her face? She's got dark hair and big baby eyes.
Jessica Lowndes.
Yeah, Loudon or something like that. Yeah, Lowndes. Yes. And beautiful woman, terrible actress, horrible. I've seen this parts of this movie before, and I remembered when it came on, I was like, oh, here's a movie I haven't seen, I'll watch it. And then I was watching it and I was like, oh, this is terrible, I'm turning this off. And I realized that's why I hadn't seen it, because I had turned it off last year too. But it was where she plays she's probably an event planner or something, and her fiance dumps her for her cousin. And then she's got to go to the wedding. And so the handsome guy who at her firm who introduced her fiance to her cousin and caused all the problems, he takes her to the wedding. And then they get into this fake engagement
situation. This actually does sound familiar to me, too. I wonder if I've turned this off.
It was so bad. Like, she was terrible. The guy, she was, her lead was working overtime. Like, he was really trying to pull the cart, you know, but she just was not having it. And he's gorgeous and hot, and he plays this rich businessman. And the whole time she's like, oh, my life sucks. I have to go to this wedding and everything sucks and Christmas sucks. And he's like, I'll take care of you. I'll buy you fancy dinners and travel with you wherever you want. I think you're the most beautiful person on earth. And the whole time she's like, oh, this sucks. I'm like, this is terrible. So
I mean, it would suck, though, if you had to go to your wedding of your boyfriend and your cousin.
That would suck. But like, then later on, he's, you know, whining and dining her, and like every time he says something nice about her, she just rolls her eyes and she's like, oh, I wish Jared would have thought about that. Or I'm like, dude,
he went to Jared.
Oh gosh. So I don't know, what do you have going on this week in the Hallmark universe?
So I watched an old favorite and I watched a new one that I really enjoyed. The new one was If I Only Had Christmas, which is the Candace Cameron Bure one that's kind of based around The Wizard of Oz. I thought that was really cute. I really liked that. And it was cute seeing how they, you know, added little things here and there to make it, you know, that kind of went with The Wizard of Oz. Yeah. They didn't obviously stick, you know, 100% to the story. It's not the same story, but it's sort of a Christmas homage. And then the one that I watched that was a classic, and I intentionally picked this so that we could talk about it, was I watched A Royal Christmas with Lacey Chabert.
Okay.
And I picked it because the, you know, there's always like a prince undercover.
Yes.
You know, she finds out he's a prince, yes, blah, blah, blah. And actually, I had watched a couple weeks ago. There's one of the early ones of those is the girl actually does know that he's a prince. But and her sister had been married to his brother, and then his sister died, and the brother died in an accident, and they're raising the kids because there's always something horrible in Hallmark, and so she has to go meet the fancy family.
Right.
But in that one, it's a little bit different because she knows up front, so it's not the same. Even though the guy in it is Sam Heughan, who is Jamie Fraser on Outlander, which was crazy to see him in a Hallmark movie.
That's crazy.
But what I love about this Lacey Chabert one, getting back to my point, after that detour, was in A Royal Christmas, she does the thing that I love / hate in these Hallmark, hey, he's a secret prince movies, which is once the American girl goes to meet the family, she acts like she's like never left her house before and never interacted with a human being.
Yes.
Like they act completely inappropriately all the time. And I'm not saying like she doesn't know which fork to use at a 12-course meal, or she doesn't know the proper form of a dress for like a duchess, a dowager duchess, or, you know, who to curtsy and who doesn't get a, you know, I'm not talking about like the crazy etiquette stuff. I'm talking like they act like wild animals when they get around.
Yeah.
Royal families.
Yeah. Like they never saw a napkin before or a chandelier, or, oh my gosh, look, there's a bed.
Yeah. Right. Or they just say like wildly inappropriate things that you're like, it's not that that's inappropriate to say to a prince. It's just inappropriate. Like I'm trying to, you know, like they just blurt out anything in their mind. And then they're like, I wonder why the queen doesn't want me to marry her son. She must be mean. And I'm like, no, I don't think anybody wants you to marry their son. You're acting like a crazy person.
Yeah, you're acting like you were born in the gutter. Like,
right?
Americans do know how to say please or thank you, or do know how to like hold your tongue if in a certain situation. Absolutely. Absolutely. I always love, I mean, the thing is like if I was like the queen of like a very small, not very well-known nation.
It's Cordinia.
Cordinia. I love it. I love it. A very small, it's always like somewhere between Luxembourg and Germany.
Right.
Like
it's just somewhere snowy.
Yeah. Just tucked right in there. I mean, if I saw Lacey Chabert coming my way, I'd be thrilled. She's lovely.
Yeah. Sure.
Yeah, I mean, which, she's like a nice
until,
girl.
Until they start acting like crazy people. Which, you know, she's totally normal in New York, but you take her to Cordinia.
But I do like this one. Is this the one where, is Jane Seymour the mom?
Yes. This
one? Yes. I love, I love that one. I love that one.
It is a cute one. And it has the cute B story where the queen had been in love with the butler.
That's right.
But he was a commoner.
Right.
So they never got together. But now that she is widowed and her son is dating a commoner, she can finally be with the butler, who has better manners than Lacey Chabert.
I mean, if you're going to destroy centuries of royal tradition, you might as well do it all in one Christmas.
Right. That's true. That's true.
Well, is that the movie you want to break down this week, or do you have something else in mind?
Yeah, no, that's the one.
Let's go for it. I love this one. I'll say this before you get started. A Royal Christmas. It was one of the ones where I realized, because there are certain movies where I just had revelations about the Hallmark universe. Mm-hmm. And this was one of the movies that I watched when I was first kind of getting into it, where I thought, oh, you know what I notice about Hallmark universe? Nobody lives together. Nobody's living together. I just thought, like, I remember she had a roommate and she was telling her roommate or her friend, I'm cooking brunch for Bob or whoever her prince is. He's coming over in the morning and I'm cooking like Christmas brunch. And then he's going to go home for Christmas. She doesn't know he's a prince. And I remember thinking, like, wow, he's coming over to her house for breakfast. And they're engaged, you know?
Yeah.
Like, that was so weird. It's so bizarre to see that even though it happens every day, a lot of people don't live together before they get married. But if you watch TV and movies now, you never know.
Yeah, everybody does. And when he comes over for breakfast, that's also some excellent heyday of product placement.
Yes.
Because he shows up and just holds up these bags from Walmart. Like, breakfast is, you know, because he's bringing the supplies or whatever. But I love it. It's like Prince Leo hanging out at Walmart.
Yeah, I think there was a couple of Folgers placements in there, too. And she had like an old school apartment where Christmas just puked all over it.
And actually, this one is from 2014. I thought it was newer than that. Because I was going to say I thought it was past the Folgers days, but 2014, that's probably right about Folgers years.
Yeah, right about Folgers years. I think they should bring back Folgers just for for some Christmas nostalgia.
Yeah, I agree.
Get us into this movie. How does it start?
All right. So Lacey Chabert plays Emily, and she is a aspiring clothing designer.
Yes.
She calls herself a seamstress, but I feel like she's more of a designer. And then she has this boyfriend, Leo, who is from Cordinia, but has an English accent because they only have English accents.
You cannot have a prince, especially an undercover prince with like a harsh German accent or like a Japanese accent. I guess you could, but I just think it's too much. We're already going to have to make the leap to believe that he's a prince. We just can't. We're not going to be able to get over any kind of accent. British, we take seriously, and everybody else we make fun of.
Fair enough.
Yeah,
fair
we're enough. Americans. That's what we do.
But you couldn't get like a sexy Italian accent, or I guess.
Well, that
not.
Says
guess,
something different, doesn't it?
Because you can't be sexy in Hallmark. Yeah.
You can't be sexy, and there is something super sexy about that Italian or even French. You know,
French,
it's like very seductive. Right. You need a wholesome prince.
That's true. That's true. And Prince Leo, he's a good man.
He's a good guy. Yeah.
So he wants her to come home with him for Christmas to meet his mother. And then he's like, BTW, by the way, that means the queen, because surprise, I am Prince Leopold.
It's like,
I know. So she can't believe it. Obviously goes to Cordinia and
hang on. What would you do, Amelia? Let's say you go out on a date. Cause you're out there in the world of singlehood. You're seeing people, you're seeing what's out there. Let's see, you meet a guy, you connect with him. You have maybe a nice few dates and you think this might be the one. You go out he takes you out for dinner one night. He says, you want to meet my parents? You're like, yeah, great. This is going good if I'm meeting the parents. And then he says he's a prince. What do you do?
I probably, first of all, think that he's making fun of me for loving Hallmark movies.
I would think he was crazy.
I would just assume that he was making fun of me for loving Hallmark movies. And so I can see a reality in which I just like go along with it, thinking that I'm in on the joke. And he thinks that I believe him. And it just leads to all kinds of
zaniness. That's a Hallmark movie, actually.
That's what I would wish for me.
Yeah, that's actually a fun Hallmark plot. All right, fair enough. All right, so they do travel to Cordinia. They get there.
They do. And then Queen Isadora, Jane Seymour, she invites Natasha, his mean ex-girlfriend, to spend Christmas at the castle. And that's another thing that comes up in all of these, is that the ex-girlfriend is like, she shows up, it's usually the mom brings her in to try to like show her prince slash son that, you know, there are more suitable women out there. They're always evil and they're always really available at Christmas.
Yeah.
You know, I'd be like, I don't, thank you, Queen Isadora. I don't think I want to spend Christmas with my ex-boyfriend.
Right. I'm literally royalty myself. You know, I'm in the upper echelon. I'm white and and rich. I'd like, I have everything going for me. I don't need to lurk.
Stuff to do.
Yeah, she's got stuff to do. But apparently not.
Well, all they want is to be queen, you know.
Well, you know, and I get it. I get it. Like, you know, I always say this about Meghan Markle, whom before she married Prince Harry, I was actually quite a big fan of because I think she's freaking gorgeous. And if you watch her on Suits, it's like she's a decent actress, but oh my gosh, her wardrobe's incredible. She's a gorgeous woman. And so I thought, oh, this is so cool. She's marrying Prince Harry, and isn't she amazing? And then she turns out to be a weirdo. But I remember thinking when they got engaged, and they got engaged so quickly, and people were like, it's too fast. And I'm like, I don't know. If a prince fell in love with you, whether or not you are in love with him, I think a lot of women would just marry him. If he's like tolerable and like Prince Hot Ginge is super tolerable.
He is more than tolerable.
Yeah. Then I would say I doubt it. It mattered to her whether or not she really loved him. I can't imagine saying no to royalty.
I don't know. See, I feel like somebody like the British royal family, that is a lot of fishbowl. Like we're talking about my hypothetical boyfriend who turns out to be a prince.
Yes.
Obviously, there's not a lot of fishbowl because I didn't even know. I didn't even recognize this man.
Right.
Which I think happened to like a prince in, I want to say like Norway or Sweden. He met a girl like on vacation and she fell in love with him and didn't know. And then later she like saw a picture of him somewhere or like Googled. I think she just like told her his name, like not his title. So she Googled it and was like, this man's a prince. So, I mean, that I feel like I could deal with.
Yeah.
But the level of scrutiny.
I don't think Markle.
In Cordinia, for example.
Or in Cordinia. I mean, you know, the press, the tabloid press in Cordinia is infamously.
Unreal.
Yeah.
Unreal.
They're out of control. I don't think, I'll let you get back to this, but I don't think Meghan Markle understood what she was getting. I think she saw the glamour because I don't think she's that smart.
Meghan Markle podcast, but yeah.
Yeah. We're not going to turn into a Meghan Markle. I don't think she's that intelligent. I don't think she really thought that. It down the road, but like your every I imagine Harry was telling her, look, if you marry me, your job is to be my wife. That is your literal career path. And I think it's one of those things that seems like you can handle it at first, and then all of a sudden you're taking etiquette lessons and you got to wear pantyhose everywhere and you're not allowed to speak in public unless you have a prepared speech. And she's an American actress, which are have the biggest mouths in the world. So, all right. Anyway, sorry, Meghan Markle. Meghan Markle is not welcome in the Hallmark universe. I'll put that down right
I'll
now.
I'll apologize to Jessica Lowndes for saying she was an ignorant actress, but I do not apologize to Meghan Markle for this conversation.
Absolutely not. Anyways, so continue. So Lacey Chabert is okay. She's out of that fishbowl because Cordinia doesn't have the same kind of tabloid press that.
Yeah, I mean, they obviously have tabloids because that's how it works.
Yeah.
But, you know, you can go to like 10 miles away to Switzerland or wherever and nobody notices.
Right.
So she's trying to adapt. She's trying to be a royal or at least be comfortable there. And she realizes that she really likes hanging out with the butlers and the housemaids instead of his family and his friends, which also is not going to endear you to anyone. You should probably hang out with the family and friends.
Right.
Even if they're not royals, that's probably just like, don't find someone else to hang out with when you're supposed to be there to meet them.
I think it's important to keep your employee relationships and friendships separately.
Yes.
It can get complicated.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I agree. So then it gets even crazier because they go to buy a Christmas tree in town and she ends up just like becoming friends with this little orphan girl.
Uh-huh. Like
you do.
She
also becomes friends with a duchess or a countess or a baroness or something. Who also, FYI, surprise, used to be a commoner. So she understands what Emily is going through.
Oh, yeah.
But guess what? She also can't have children. So you know what? Duchess meet Poppy. Poppy meet Duchess. Boom. Family. Because that's how adoption works.
Wow. Wow. She can't have children. That's like really kind of dark for the Hallmark universe.
Yeah.
Like she cannot. Her womb is broken. I can't believe they let that happen. But as with any good Hallmark movie, they've replaced a broken womb with a broken child.
They found each other. They found each other. And adoption is very quick. There's little paperwork at Cordinia. You just like point to the one you want and that's your kid.
I mean, if you're the prince or if you're the queen or whatever, the future queen, you get to pick whatever kid you want. Yeah.
So then my favorite part is, of course, there's a Christmas ball.
Oh, good.
And Lacey Chabert doesn't have anything to wear.
No, of course
not. So they give her one of the queen's old gowns. And like the idea is like it's unfashionable and blah, blah, blah. Well, she's a seamstress.
Oh.
So she just rips it to shreds and makes something new out of the material. And I'm like, that's actually not very polite.
How very pretty and pink, though.
It is. Like, it was resourceful. She looked beautiful. All of those things. But you should probably ask permission before taking someone's gown apart and refashioning it into something else. Just a thought, Emily.
I think it was, it's a nod to Princess Diana. That was always one of my favorite things about Diana, that she would recycle her outfits.
Yeah.
So she would have like a gorgeous evening long, a long evening gown. Mm-hmm. And then she'd wear it out like 6 or 8 months later. And it would be like a mini dress. And maybe she'd cut one sleeve off or something. She always did cool stuff like that. Yeah.
That's true.
Lacey Chabert is the Princess Diana of the Hallmark universe.
Wow. That's a lot to think about.
Maybe we shouldn't. We could go down a rabbit hole with that. Okay. So
did Paul Revere really say the British are coming? And how was George Washington chosen to lead the first American army? Join us for the Growing Patriot podcast, a place for curious kids to ask the big questions about our nation's history and get kid-friendly answers from the country's top experts. Help your child learn about and cherish America's exceptional history. Subscribe to Growing Patriots on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts today.
Do you feel like everyone is yelling at each other, but no one is listening to each other or themselves? I'm Kira Davis, host of Just Listen to Yourself, a weekly exercise in critical thinking and drawing our talking points all the way out to their logical conclusions. Because I believe when we take the time to examine our own talking points, we can realize we're not always saying what we think we're saying. Download Just Listen to Yourself with Kira Davis on iHeartRadio, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
So then she's hanging out, of course, with the kitchen staff while she's at the ball. So they get fired. The queen fires the staff members.
Oh, way to go, Lacey.
I know. Good job. So Leo proposes, but she's like, I do not fit in here. I cannot make this work. Blah, 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 blah. But you won't believe this.
Okay.
But the queen has a change of heart.
She does.
Mm-hmm. Yep. She realizes that she's hurt some people. She realizes that they're in love and that love is all that matters. And that she also loves the butler. So she and the butler go to New York or wherever she's from. somewhere snowy, I don't know. But it's a city, a snowy city. So I feel like those are always New England. But anyway. And they like watch her get proposed to again. They watch their son propose again. And then at the end of the movie, we have a wedding, which I don't feel like we get a lot of weddings.
We don't. We really don't get that
far.
They
end with like a kiss or a proposal. Yeah. But and the little orphan girl is there. So you know that for sure she was adopted.
Yeah.
And they don't have her like locked in the basement.
And, probably in a scenario like this, it is appropriate to end with a wedding because that's how kind of every princess fairy tale ends. Right.
Well, it is. But what they've been doing, and I definitely agree with that. It's a fairy tale ending. But what they've been doing, like, for example, The Christmas Prince on Netflix, which was their first big Christmas movie.
Right.
They did the first movie where they fall in love. The second movie is The Royal Wedding. The third movie is Having a Baby.
I'm not comfortable with that. I don't want to get to the baby part. I just think that's private.
There's a lot about that one you'd be uncomfortable with because like the entire court comes and watches her have this baby. And they're like, just breathe in all the love and breathe out the pain. It's fine. And I'm like, I've never had a baby, but I'm pretty sure I would punch someone saying that in my face.
It's not that great. It's definitely not a position that you want like the whole world to be looking at you in. Yeah. I can remember being pregnant, being in labor with my second and just in excruciating pain. Like it's really impossible to imagine that you can experience this type of pain and not die. And so in that moment, you do feel like you're dying. And so I'm on the bed and I'm like writhing in pain and like I'm hot and I'm cold. So I'm like throwing off the covers and I'm not very well dressed, you know, and I just can remember my husband like very modestly and politely, like pulling up the cover over my my lady bits, and then I'd like kick them off, and he'd like pull them back up, you know, because this is appropriate. It's like, look, like it is what it is, dude. Like there is nothing glamorous about having kids. So, and I think also the thing that makes me uncomfortable about getting to the part where they have the children is that I know all of the stress that's about to hit them, and their fairy tale relationship is over. Like this is, they're going to have to set aside their own desires for about at least 10 years while they get their act together, or at least two, until they find like a decent nanny that can raise their kids.
Well, I mean, they are royals though. They have a nanny ready.
It's true. I'm uncomfortable. I can do the relationship part and the wedding part, but once it gets to kids, I just kind of don't want to think about it after that. Then you're just in the daily routine of daily life.
Now they're just a couple with kids.
Now they're just like me. And
there's somebody you know from playgroup.
Yeah. not my thing, but okay. So it ends happily ever after. Is that, did we miss anything? Should we go through the tropes?
Let's do it.
Was there a contest of some kind or a challenge of some kind that Lacey had help with?
Well, I think just really getting ready for the ball was like, I mean, because that was the big like Christmas Eve event.
Wasn't there something with the, and I haven't seen it as recently as you have. So wasn't there something with the Christmas village, like the stalls, like the vendor stalls where they were trying to sell something and like it wasn't selling very well or?
Oh, yeah. So that was part of the orphans were out there because they were like raising money. So if the prince is around, yeah, she did help them.
She helped them raise money.
With raising money for their orphanage. She found one at home, so that's good.
Yeah, I mean, like you do. When you're ready to adopt Amelia, you just kind of lurk around in places where orphans might be.
And excuse me, are there children available here?
Throw a rock and hit one and take it home. I think that's
that
how
one's
it works.
Mine.
Was there any snowball fights or building a snowman?
Yes. There was snow frolicking.
Was there a carriage ride in this one? A carriage or a sleigh?
I'm trying to think. I feel like I watched two Prince movies this week, which was a problem.
I know. They start to blend together because Danica McKellar's got like at least two and so does Lacey Chabert.
I don't think there was a sleigh ride in this one.
All right. I feel like there was, but I think I'm getting it mixed up with the Danica McKellar one that I'm thinking
of. Yeah, because I did also watch Christmas Prince on Netflix.
Oh, okay. all right. Did anybody fall off a ladder or fall into the arms of somebody?
I think she slipped on the ice.
Okay, fair enough.
One of those instead. Yeah.
We already know
this was 6 years ago. They were still working on their tropes.
Yeah. We already know the answer to this one. Precocious child.
Poppy, yes.
Right, Poppy, the little...
Poppy the orphan.
The orphan girl. And was there a misunderstanding that could have been cleared up with a simple conversation?
Not really a misunderstanding. I mean, she's like, your family's horrible, I'm leaving. And I mean, she was kind of right. So the family had to become unhorrible. Well, it wasn't really a misunderstanding.
Was the misunderstanding between Natasha, like, didn't she think?
Oh, yes, because she did overhear something with Natasha, but then she like talked to him about it.
Oh, imagine that.
So at first she was like, oh, that we're over, he's gonna marry Natasha, and then she like says something to him and he's like, no, my mom's trying to make that a thing, but it's not a thing, I want to be with you.
All right.
So
okay.
Yeah, she actually communicates with them. It's weird.
And we know that the party or the gala is, of course, the ball. Was the ball on Christmas Eve?
Mm-hmm.
Well,
yep.
Naturally.
Yeah. And there was also some serious cookie decorating, because that's one of the things that she does with the help that's just not cool.
Right. You don't decorate with the help. And so at the end of the film, we've got this American princess in Cordinia. Now she's married. She's there. And Queen Jane Seymour is marrying the butler. And 6 months later, Cordinia descends into riots and rebellion because they've just thwarted 1,000 years
Cordinia
of tradition.
Cordinia is now a constitutional republic or a constitutional monarchy anyway.
It's ignited World War III because now America is taking over Cordinia. Happy ending. Okay, fair enough. A Royal Christmas with Lacey Chabert. There you have it. One of my favorites. Yep. I love it. And I love that the Prince storyline, the fish out of water in the world of the Royal Prince is actually one of my favorites.
Yeah.
And my other favorite plot line is being fake engaged or fake married. I like that.
Yeah, I think that's my favorite one. If you could be fake engaged to a prince, we'd have my favorite movie.
Oh my gosh, maybe we should write that just so we can see it. I do think at this point, Amelia, though, I meant to start the podcast off with this, but I am going to say this right now. I want to just give this caveat for anyone who might be listening to the podcast. We are poking fun of Hallmark in good fun. We love Hallmark.
Oh, and we love it.
We love it. And when I talk about bad actresses, or if we imply that the writing is basic, like, we understand that you are working within a universe. And the part of the skill of writing for the Hallmark universe is keeping it this bland and this vague. And that's the dog, for anyone who doesn't understand what that noise is. That's a dog. Don't panic. No, it's fine. I just didn't want anyone to think, like, what is that? Is that me?
He just has a lot of thoughts about how hard it is to write within the Hallmark framework. And there is no hate coming from us. And he just wanted to reiterate that he enjoys it.
Gus gets it. No, he gets it. He's not bitter, and he's not like an elitist about it. And I like that. And we're not being elitist. If you're a Hallmark writer and you're listening to this and you're like thinking of all the things, you're like, well, of course I had to do it because XYZ, we get it. We understand. We're kind of laughing with you. We don't want you to change. And we appreciate that the skill it actually takes to fit your story into this very small box, which is lovely and wrapped in a very lovely package and with a bow on top. So hats off to Hallmark writers. I mean, honest to God, it would be a dream of mine to sell a Hallmark script. And hats off to everyone in the Hallmark universe. Just know that we love you, and we're not laughing at you. We're like embracing the holiday craziness. That's all. I just felt moved to say that.
Yes.
I don't want anyone to...
This podcast is from a place of love.
100%. So even if it seems like we're being critical, that's just because that's part of the love. But we, at the end of the day, we have nothing but the utmost respect for everybody involved in the Hallmark universe. Writers, producers, actors, set dressers, everybody. It's a genre. It's a mood.
It wouldn't be Christmas without you.
It would not be Christmas without you. So, and this year more than ever, I appreciate it. So I was just thinking about that last night when I was going to sleep. And I think it's because, as a filmmaker myself, now I'm a filmmaker, Amelia. I've made one movie. I'm a filmmaker.
It's a really good movie, though.
Oh, thank you. You can see my movie on YouTube. It's called Minty. It is a short film about Harriet Tubman, reimagining Harriet Tubman as an action hero. And I realize how hard it is to get anything done in entertainment. And I don't know, I was thinking about that. I was like, I would feel hurt if someone was like laughing at it, but I just wouldn't listen to it. Actually, I encourage people to make fun of, go watch my movie and make fun of it, but I just won't listen to what you say. So I think that was keeping me up, and I felt like I had to say that. All right.
Excellent.
Moving on. So I watched a movie this week, which I think is going to become a new favorite of mine. At least I think the leads are new favorites for me.
Ooh.
The movie is called a Jingle Bell Bride. Jingle Bell Bride.
Oh.
It is a, brace yourself, it's an interracial love story.
Weren't we just saying that it was time for that?
I think we were just saying it in
episode one.
It's what I call in the Hallmark or the universe of white folks in movies, I call it the cheating interracial, because she's Hispanic. And so it's like what white folks will let you get away with on, you know, you can't waste a good white person on this interracial coupling. So, but regardless of that, and then because my mind just sinks this way, then I'm like, there's all kinds of implications about who we say is white and non-white. She's Hispanic, but there's a lot of Hispanic people who think of themselves as white. But in America, we make everybody a group. We won't let Hispanics be white, but most of them think they're white.
But this is Planet Hallmark.
This is Planet Hallmark. So regardless, that's just my side rant. That's a journey into the mind of Kira. But regardless, I thought both leads were excellent. It stars Julie Gonzalo and Ronnie.
Oh, I like her.
Do you? I love her. She's a new favorite now. I hadn't seen her in anything else, I don't think. I think this is my first one.
Yeah, no, I have seen her. I don't know if it was Christmas or some other Hallmark season, but she was also in the reboot that they made of Dallas. I think it only went in a couple seasons, but she was in that.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, I like her.
It had actually had a really great cast. But Ronnie Rowe is a new one to me in the Hallmark universe, and he was good looking and sweet. I remember when we said like Jake from State Farm last week, I said that would be, to me, Ronnie Rowe had all those qualities. He was like really handsome, but not in a dangerous way. He's like safe, hot. And he had a really sweet and cheerful quality about it. I just thought he made a great Hallmark lead. So I actually was really into this movie. So in A Jingle Bell Bride, Julie Gonzalo plays Jessica Perez. Now, here's the other thing. We're losing the Christmas names. I'm seeing that a lot in newer Hallmark movies. They're not going so heavy-handed with the Christmas names. But they're replacing it with the same name. Like, I can't tell you how many Jessicas I've seen in the Hallmark universe.
Yeah.
Why is that? What do you think that is?
You know, okay, so I think that names, like, we get a lot of Jessicas, a lot of, I think there's, like, a lot of, like, Jen. And I feel like those are women, not girls, who are about our age. And those are the girls that are watching these movies. And so I don't know if they're trying to like connect with the audience by having sort of similar names. But it seems like, I want to know where, like, if that were the point, though, I feel like there would be a lot of Ashleys out there by now.
Yeah, there's not. You're right. There's not many Ashleys. Like, how come there's no Barbs out there? Yeah. I just thought it was weird. Like, this is probably the 10th Hallmark movie I've watched this season that had a Jessica as the lead. And usually that's just the actress's name. But they're replacing a lot of the Christmas names. So Jessica is a busy business person. She is an event planner, and she's planning a celebrity wedding in New York City for Christmas Eve, obviously. And she's got a big celebrity client, a singer, a pop singer named Renee. And Jessica's very busy. She doesn't have time for her sister. She doesn't have time for her niece, who just want to spend time with her in the holidays. She's got to plan. This is the biggest event of the year, and this is going to decide whether or not she gets a promotion in her big event planning firm. Mm-hmm. I love how these movies set up the career universe, because for a long time now, a lot of this stuff has been done remotely. Like, there's not one big building in downtown New York that is an event planner building, that is an office like the Stock Exchange building, where it's people in suit and ties walking around with clipboards. And like, that's not the event planner, you know, central, but that's how this seems. She worked in an office building.
Obviously.
Yeah. And she had a rival who wanted her job, but Jessica is the best at the job. And, so she's planning this big wedding, and at the last second, the temperamental pop star bride says, I want this special kind of flower, this jingle bell flower, and that's what I want. And so she says, they don't exist. Like, you can't find them anywhere, not at this time of year. And she said, well, that's what I want. So Jessica goes to her boss. She says, Renee wants these flowers, but there's no way to get these flowers. They don't exist in New York City. And the boss gives her this long speech about how we are an event planner to the elite, to the stars. They pick us because we, whatever they want, we get them. So there's no like, no here. You have to go find this, because that's literally the job. That's literally what they pay us for. So I was like, all right, I like that attitude. You know, it's like, it kind of is like that in the entertainment industry. When you got your talent, you don't say no, you just figure out a way to make it happen. So Jessica does some research, and she finds out that there's one tiny town in Alaska that still grows jingle bell flowers at this time of year.
Winter in Alaska is the only place where this flower grows.
It's the only place. I think it grows other places, but it's like nowhere available but this one town.
Okay.
So she hops the first flight to Anchorage, and the town, she's got to take a puddle jumper to the town from Anchorage even. So here's this big city girl going to Alaska. Can you imagine?
Wild.
Yeah, it's
wild.
Crazy.
She didn't even work.
She didn't even have the right boots. And she gets there off this little puddle jumper plane, and it's the scariest ride, and it's kind of a one-stop light town. You know, got one pilot named Jack. I guess you could count him as a Christmassy name. And she gets there and she sees the sign. The population of the town is 112. It's a small Alaskan town. But lucky for her, one of the residents in this town is super hottie Matt. Like, you generally find those people in the middle of Alaska, I'm sure.
Right, right. A really hot black man who grows flowers.
Yep. And is very sophisticated.
I would go to Alaska if that's what I was looking for.
He's a former professor as well. He's very smart. And Matt lives with his aunt, Mary, who her husband passed away some years ago. So he moved back to help her. And anyway, she ends up in this town. And what's funny about this town is it's a population of 112. It's also, she's landing right at the time of the big Christmas festival. Right? Mm-hmm, this is the, and there's only barely 100 people in this town, but apparently every single person owns a business. Because the town's fairly big. It's like 112 people, but there's like, there's a cafe, there's a bookstore, there's a toy store, there's a church, there's a concert hall. Like, it must be a requirement to be a business owner to live in this town. She goes to the greenhouse where Matt and his aunt are cultivating the jingle bells, and she introduces herself, and it's, of course, it's awkward because she's a big city gal and they're down to earth Alaska people. Mm-hmm. But they agree to sell her these jingle bells, and they box them up, and she goes back to the plane, and wouldn't you know it, it's a snowstorm.
Oh, I did not see that coming.
Yeah.
I didn't.
Yeah.
I thought she would just fly home and
throw her wedding. She can't go home. And it's just one thing after another. Then the part on the plane breaks, so he has to order a part for the plane. And that's going to take days. She's stuck, basically, in, I think the name of the town was Topisa. She's stuck in Topisa, population 112. But luckily, Matt's Aunt Mary has this gorgeous, huge house, like you do in the middle of a town of 112 people.
Right, right.
She's got space for guests. And by the way, they're decorating for the Christmas festival this week. We sure could use some extra helping hands around here. So Jessica stays and she helps with the town festival. She's dealing with not being present for the final days of this wedding planning back home and her rival trying to take over for her. So that's kind of happening. Her cell phone goes in and out because it's Alaska, you know, and that's stressful for her. And she helps decorate the big, for the big, the huge town festival where all 112 people go. There's a couple of, this one had two B stories, two love B stories. Yeah. And I thought that was nice. I don't think you can have enough love stories in a Hallmark movie.
I mean, with 112 people, though.
This is my thing.
I mean, this seems like there's a lot of singles who just happen to be right for each other.
The airplane mechanic, Jack, was secretly in love with the mayor, who was, she was kind of a busy, busy person herself and kind of didn't read the cues. But Jack was always trying to get the mayor's attention. Mm-hmm. So they ended up getting together at the end. And then Aunt Mary, there was like another elderly gentleman in the community who, I guess, had always had his eye on her. So they shared a dance at the end.
Her.
And yeah, and that's how we knew that Matt could go, like Matt could be less involved in her life. Like she could let Matt go to lead his own life because she's got this love.
Right. Now. So he's just going to go to, wait, where does she live? Is she Hollywood?
New York.
New York. Okay. So he's just going to like go to New York then?
Yeah. Surprise. Yeah. Matt moves. He just moves to New York after a bit of a misunderstanding. But there's this one scene, like, of course, his sister is there with her son at staying at the house. And her sister says, you know, you've got to move on. Apparently he had a hard divorce a few years earlier and he lived in New York City and he had moved to Anchorage to get away. And so, And she says, look, it's been a couple years. You need to move on. How many dates have you had since you came back? And he said, one. And that's just the one that you set me up with. And I'm like, how big's the dating pool in Topisa, Alaska? Population 112.
One date sounds like a lot.
And who was it? Because I've grown up in small town areas. And
oh, yeah, me too.
It's like, the pickings are slim. It's like, you know, you've got one of five brothers to choose from, and they're all from the same genetic background and same education background. So I don't know. Anyways, apparently there's enough for him. So the wedding planner boss calls Jessica and says, if you don't get your ass back here, you're fired. This is our top client. She needs those flowers. And your rival's about to take over here because you have to, someone's got to be here in person to bring this home. And so she's like, well, I can't. I'm in the middle of Alaska. I can't get out. I can't fly the plane. I got to wait for this part, blah, blah, blah. And the whole town. And so what happens is the boss tells her, like, you know what? Never mind. I'm giving this project to whoever, Lucy or whoever. Yes. And here's the thing. The boss gave her this whole speech about this is what we do. The only thing we do is give people exactly what they want. It's your job to go get these flowers. I don't care what it takes. We don't care what it takes. Now, the lady's saying, I'm going to be there, but I'm going to be there like literally an hour before the wedding. When I get the flight finally comes in, that's how long. But I'm going to be there. And they're like, no, it's not good enough. We just have to do it without the flowers. I'm like, well, wait a second. This lady just traveled all the way to Alaska.
You just sent her all the way there for these flowers.
Yeah, you just said that this was not, like, there was, failure was not an option here. And now they're like, well, it failed. Renee will be okay. So she ends up, the townspeople end up coming together to help get the plane fixed. They help load her up onto the plane and they get her to Alaska. They get her to Anchorage for an early flight to New York so she can be there in time.
Beautiful.
Beautiful story. She says goodbye to Matt, and it looks like it's never going to be. And she goes to the wedding, and she gives the bride her jingle balls and her flowers. And the bride says, thank you. You're amazing. Now, the bride, obviously, is New York City. Obviously, the bride is getting married in, is that St. Patrick's Cathedral right there on Fifth Avenue? Which is like the most famous cathedral in the United States. But this is where Renee, the pop star, is getting married. Mm-hmm. And of course, the interior is, it's not St. Patrick's Cathedral. I mean, in the I don't even know if most celebrities could get married in St. Patrick's Cathedral.
The waiting list, I think, is like years long.
Yeah.
And I feel like most celebrities would have broken up by then.
Yeah, and I don't know. I've never heard of this Renee character, so I don't know if she has that kind of celebrity sway to book St. Patrick's Church. Anyway, she shows up, says thank you. She realizes that Christmas really is about family and she should stop being so busy. And she's going to go see her niece and her sister and turns around and who is standing behind her at the church? Do you feel like everyone is yelling at each other, but no one is listening to each other or themselves? I'm Kira Davis, host of Just Listen to Yourself, a weekly exercise in critical thinking and drawing our talking points all the way out to their logical conclusions. Because I believe when we take the time to examine our own talking points, we can realize we're not always saying what we think we're saying. Download Just Listen to Yourself with Kira Davis on iHeartRadio, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Did Paul Revere really say, the British are coming? And how was George Washington chosen to lead the first American army? Join us for the Growing Patriot podcast, a place for curious kids to ask the big questions about our nation's history and get kid-friendly answers from the country's top experts. Help your child learn about and cherish America's exceptional history. Subscribe to Growing Patriots on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts today.
Matt.
Well, it can't be Matt.
It's Matt. What? He got on a plane. He packed up. He got on a plane. He flew back to New York. And not only that, within that 24 hours, he also got a job at the local university,
which is just down,
as he describes it, standing on Fifth Avenue in front of St. Patrick's Church, mm-hmm. which is just down the road from here. That's where that's where he got his teaching position. And I don't know where he's living or where his luggage went or
he just
hopped on a plane and came right to the church to sweep Jessica off her feet. But you know what? I'm here for it. Okay. They lived happily ever after. And I'm assuming they went back to see Aunt Mary and her boy toy every Christmas. Yeah.
Sure. How Aunt Mary got her groove back.
Yep. And that's the end. That's the end of a of Jingle Bell Bride. And I thought both the leads were lovely. They were really engaging. I would love to see both of them in more Hallmark movies. Totally bought it.
I love it.
Yep.
Okay, so let's go down the list. So what was, you said there was a misunderstanding that could have been cleared up?
Yeah, I think the misunderstanding was that, I think the misunderstanding was just that she, yeah, it wasn't really that big of a deal, but she needed to go back to New York and he really cared about her and instead like did the whole, no, just go. Yeah. But really, he really liked her and that's what he needed to tell her. This is one of the things in the Hallmark movie universe that kills me is how for 2 hours of your film, there's always somebody in the background to the main characters giving knowing looks. Like no one can ever just tell you, like, you know, like the two characters like say, oh, hey, we're going to go shovel the snow. And then, you know, the Aunt Mary goes, oh, OK, you're going to go shovel the snow. OK. Or when they walk away, she gives this look like, oh, like immediately everyone knows that these people are in love and they don't know yet. It's like, and everything, no one can have a normal interaction with them. Every interaction is like, well, you know, I'm going to go to the bathroom. Oh, okay. Like, oh, Matt and I are going to go clean up the puke on the rug. The cat puked on the rug. Oh, okay.
Ooh, the hairball.
So, yeah. So that was kind of, the misunderstanding was more their feelings, not like a particular situation.
Okay. All right. Did she fall off a ladder / slip on the ice, something like that?
There was a overreach. So they were, she couldn't reach something on the top shelf that she needed to get. And he came behind her with his big strong arms and reached above her and got it. And then they kind of had a moment as he brought it down and yeah.
Good for her.
Yep.
Cookie decorating or baking of some kind?
No, there was decorating though. They had to decorate the town hall for the big Christmas Eve gala with all 112 people in Tabisa, Alaska. All right.
Snowball fight or sledding?
Snow Angel.
Oh,
they made snow angels. Yeah.
Oh, that's a good twist. I like
it. I thought that too. I was like, you know what? Snow angels are fun.
They are fun. They are fun. Did I miss any of the big tropes? I think we're good.
Precocious kid.
Oh, precocious kid. Was there one?
Yes. The nephew. There was two. She had a niece in the beginning, and the niece was kind of PO'd because Aunt Jessica wouldn't stay for Christmas and play. She had to go work. And then at Aunt Mary's house, Matt's sister and nephew were there. And the nephew was a little boy who needed to learn how to play this tune on the piano. And then he told Jessica some, you know, very mature truths about her life and her search for love.
She needed to hear.
So yeah, that kid was there. I think that's it for the tropes. Yeah, there was a big Christmas Eve thing. The big plan was the wedding plus the festival, which she got named a festival princess, by the way.
Oh, good for her. That's not like offensive at all to the women who live in that town and have been working on this festival year round.
But when fresh blood comes in, like fresh genes, that's like new water for the gene pool. You got it. Like that person comes into a 100-person town.
I get it. Believe me. I know.
It's like am I going to date myself here? It's like the postman. You ever see the postman with Kevin Costner?
No.
I love that movie. It's an apocalyptic, like water world
story.
It's water world, but with it, he plays a postman in apocalyptic America and he's got to travel across America and deliver these letters. It's actually really good. And he goes into these cloistered communities because something bad has happened. You don't know what. And people have protected themselves in communities and he goes to this one community and then like every woman wants him to have a baby because there's no uncontaminated. Right. So I don't know. It's kind of like that in the Hallmark universe.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Let's talk a little bit about, I did want to say about this movie that I watched, a Jingle Bell Bride, that the set dressing was beautiful.
Oh, good.
Excuse me. I had to sneeze. That was weird.
Awesome.
It didn't come out. Set dressing was beautiful. It's actually, the decorations were the classiest I've seen in quite a while. Wow. But let's talk about best or worst leads because, oh, by the way, I did look up that movie that I did not like, that I turned off. And it's you have seen it. It's called A December Bride.
Oh.
Yes. A holiday wedding brings no joy to the bride's cousin, who was literally left by the groom right at the altar, but she might find her true love there when she gains a fake fiance. Okay. It's that guy. That guy is Daniel Lissing.
Yeah, he was from One Calls the Heart, which was a television show.
Oh, okay. I like him, and I think he's very attractive. I actually like him. And Jessica is like a gorgeous young woman. She's beautiful, but oh my, it was just intolerable. And I could tell that he was working so hard. He was really trying to like up the energy in every scene. But she had one setting and that's it. I've seen her in a couple. I've seen her at Christmas at Pemberley Manor, which I actually really like. Mm-hmm. But I like it. I think her stilted acting is kind of a part of the charm of that film. Again, she's opposite a male lead who is really knows what he's doing. I think she's just outmatched. Anyways, we try not to get too critical of our actors here because we know that it's Hallmark and you only have so much to work with. But I have to say this one to me is truly terrible and she was awful in it. I turned it off and I almost never turn off Hallmark.
Yeah, yeah. But, you know, there's only so many. There are only so many that you can watch. You'd be watching them 24 hours a day. So, I mean, occasionally you do just have to turn one off, you know?
Yeah, I mean, you could watch them 24 hours a day, and I basically do this time of year.
I think that you still would run out.
I know. it's horrible. I don't like it. She's not good in it, and I don't think she's right for the Hallmark universe, besides the fact that she's just absolutely stunning. She's beautiful to look at. Her eyes are incredible, but that's it. All right. So I have some Hallmark leads that I would say I will put Jessica Lowndes on my do not like for Hallmark female leads. What do you have? Female or male? Up to you.
So she is in one of my favorite movies, Kimberly, it's like Sustad something, but she's in The Nine Lives of Christmas with Brandon Routh.
Yes.
Which again, up against her with a really good male lead where he finds the cat.
Yes.
I actually really like that movie. She's not my favorite. And it's funny because when you were talking about The Bride for Christmas, or what was, sorry, I already forgot what the
a December Bride or a Jingle Bell Bride?
December Bride.
Okay.
So she was also in A Bride for Christmas, where she plays the lead's lesbian sister. And this was back, 2012? I think it's an old one. So had a lesbian sister back then. And so I'm like, well, and then I think she was in another lesbian one this year. And I'm like, well, maybe she just doesn't have chemistry with dudes. Is that my problem?
It could be it. And to me, that is a part of the problem with the Hallmark universe in general. And I've had a few people comment on this, including my GBFF, my gay best friend, who were like, there's no, like, he was over for Thanksgiving, him and his partner came over for Thanksgiving, and we were watching Hallmark Channel. And one of the things came on, and he looked at me, he was like, is this guy supposed to be the lead? And I'm like, yeah. He's like, he's so gay. And I'm like, I know. I don't know why Hallmark does this, but they choose, like, a lot of times they will choose, like, very, to me, blatantly gay leads to be like, the heterosexual love connection. And it always falls flat. And I said, I don't know why. And he said, it's probably because they don't want too much chemistry between... Oh. The leads, you've got to kind of keep it as bland as possible. So I thought that was an interesting, point of view. I don't know how much truth there is to it because I obviously don't cast Hallmark. My other thing is that I think this is just a Hollywood thing in general, is just that a lot of people in Hollywood are gay. It's an industry that attracts people who traditionally are on the margins of society or traditionally have been outcasts. And so those are the artsy people. And then they're casting what they like, right? It's just like, if I'm casting a movie, I'm going to cast like the freaking hottest guy I can find. Mm-hmm. But so a lot of it, I think, might have to do with just the people doing the casting. But he made an interesting point that I hadn't thought about, that maybe part of it is that they actually do like this sort of vibe that these guys give up, because they're friendly and approachable and you want to be their friends, but they're not, it's not like too much heat for the Hallmark screen.
Yeah. Anymore. Yeah. That's a good point. That's a good point.
Yeah.
So,
okay.
So I don't know. Yeah. So I don't know if it's just that she hasn't had the right chemistry with the male leads I've seen, but she's just, she isn't my favorite, even though I do love the Nine Lives of Christmas. Partly because I love Brandon Routh though.
Love the Nine Lives of Christmas. I want more of that. I want more of it. To me, I think that's one of the best movies, like best Hallmark movies. And it's it makes me wonder why we don't see more animals in the Hallmark universe. Like, people don't have pets. Yeah.
No, sometimes they have, there's one dog actor, his name is Happy, who is in like whenever there's a dog in a Hallmark movie, it's played by Happy.
Okay.
And, she was in the All I Need Is Christmas, or no, what was If I Only Had Christmas, there we go.
Mm-hmm.
And instead of Toto he's Bobo. But but I wonder if it's just that it's harder to work with animals and they need to crank these out so fast.
I think that's it.
Yeah, you know. Yeah. So they just can't.
Animals are hard, but I do love the idea that it's another way to get your characters together. Like, it was a brilliant meet cute in the Nine Lives of Christmas and especially this like hunky firefighter who loved Cat. Please, Brandon Routh, do more Hallmark movies, please. I love him. He was so good in this
movie.
He's
our pick of the week.
Yes, he's our episode. Brandon Routh is the pick of the week. I don't know where he went. And I mean, God only knows, because you have all kinds of career opportunities in your career and they take you all over. But Hallmark, honestly, if you can get Brandon Routh back, I think you should. He was fan-flippin-tastic. Okay, my lead, one of my favorite male leads is, and we've kind of talked about him repeatedly on this show, Warren Christie.
Oh, yeah, he's a good one.
I like him. He gives off a nice air of masculinity, but not threatening. He's super cute. And did he not do last year or the year before, which is one of my favorite worst movies, is Christmas at Graceland. I think he did that with Kelly Pickler. I feel like he was in that one.
Was that him?
Christmas?
I don't think that was him.
The first one, because they've done a series, which is another thing I think is kind of brilliant that they're doing at Hallmark, which is taking locations and making Christmas movies out of those locations. So it's really good cross-promoting.
Okay. So this guy does kind of look like him. I can see how you got them confused, but that was Wes Brown.
Wes Brown. Let me look him up. Wes Brown.
Or maybe you met Wes Brown the whole time.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. They do look exactly alike. Am I being a racist, or do they do look exactly alike?
No, they do look. Okay. They look very similar. I can see where you're coming from.
Yeah. They do look. I don't know. Which one do I like? I don't know. I think I like them both. There's no way these are different guys. Holy crap. You know what? I'm just going to put them both on there. I like them both. And gosh, I was just looking and I didn't notice that we might have a new, let's see how she does, but what's her face has a new movie, Rachel Lee Cook. She's coming to Hallmark.
Okay.
Called Cross Country Christmas. Sounds like a Christmas travel movie. I like that plot. Mm-hmm. Where the planes are grounded or whatever, you can't get home.
And it just, there's a lot of excuses for cute interactions with, like, you know, they run into a cute old couple at the diner, or there's a kid on the bus, or there's, you know, and they don't have to like be major things in the plot, but they can just have a bunch of really cute things happen because it's just something that happened on the road.
A road trip movie. And then then everyone along the way can mistake them for husband and wife. And that's always like, oh, we're not married. Right. We hate each other. Rachel Lee Cook, who, Amelia, I think is a very appropriate Hallmark queen, given your suggestion for a new Hallmark couple of Sarah Michelle Gellar and Freddie Prinze Jr. And Freddie Prinze Jr. was in the movie with Rachel Lee Cook. She's all that.
Full circle.
Full frickin' circle.
Yeah.
Hallmark. Frickin' put Freddie Prinze Jr. and Rachel Lee Cook in a frickin' Hallmark movie now. Do it.
Do it.
Do it. Okay. it's time to start wrapping this up. Did you have any nominations for up-and-comers this week for the Hallmark Universe? Okay.
This week, I would like to nominate Danielle Fischel. She played Topanga on Boy Meets World.
Yes. And is not, what's his face? Ben, he's got a Hanukkah movie on the, Ben Savage.
Oh, really?
Yes, he's got a Hanukkah movie on.
I didn't even know that. I'm just that good at this, I guess.
No, it's really uncanny. It's actually like a lot of these threads have been connecting this whole show. But yeah, he's got a Hanukkah movie that's coming up. I'm actually really interested in seeing that. It looks like a clever premise.
On Hallmark?
On Hallmark, yeah. Yeah,
huh. I don't know how I missed that.
Yep, they did one Hanukkah movie last year, and I think one is a lot.
And I know they did one that was like, she's celebrating Christmas and he's celebrating Hanukkah, so they need to like figure out how to get time with both of their families. I know they did like an interfaith one too.
Yeah, this one looks to be like I kind of like what it looks, what the plot looks like is that she did like her 23andMe or DNA search and found out she was part Jewish and so wants to learn how to celebrate Hanukkah at the holiday. So she finds a Jewish family. Cute. So she's still got the spirit of Christmas, right? Which is what the Hallmark Channel is. That whole Hallmarky Christmas thing's going on, but now you've made room for Hanukkah, which I think is great. So I'm looking forward to seeing it. Danielle Fischel is a brilliant suggestion. And I don't know, I was really having trouble coming up with people this week, and this is going to sound like a cop out because I nominated Kristen Bell from, well, she's from a lot of stuff, but The Good Place is a show I've been binging in COVID times, and unfortunately I finished it and it made me really sad. Have you ever watched it?
No.
Oh, God, it's so good.
I've gotten several recommendations for it, though, so I think I have to.
Yeah, one day when you're out of binge shows and you want to put one on, you will not regret it from the first 5 seconds. It's a really, really good show. And don't worry about the religious implications of the show. It's actually as far from that as you can get. It's just really easy to be taken up into the show. It was really good. Excellent cast. But there is an actress on that show, Jamila Jamil, and she plays the best friend of Kristen Bell's character. She is beautiful. I think in real life,
I know who she is. Yeah.
She's like, got some wokeism going on in real life. So she's always on the internet, so I don't know if Hallmark likes that kind of thing, but she's beautiful and she has this beautiful, sweet air to her that's almost like clueless in a way. I just think she'd make a really nice, and she's British. Like, why the love interest doesn't have the British accent in the Hallmark universe. You could make the protagonist British. And then
she could be an undercover princess who falls for an American guy.
Let's twist it up. Let's do this. Let's flip it and reverse it. And then the other one that I thought, it's another woman, and don't laugh at me, but I think it's a good one, is Alyssa Milano. I know a lot of people don't like her because she's super vocal about politics.
I'm not sure Hallmark wants to go with somebody who's really political like that.
That's, I know, that's the thing. She's too out there.
I definitely see where you're coming from with her. I don't think it's a bad idea. But I don't think that Hallmark would pick anybody who is vaguely divisive.
Yeah. Yeah, publicly she is pretty divisive, but whenever I watch her on screen, which is very rare these days, she seems to have kind of retired from acting. She's actually really good at what she does, and she has a lovely, sweet persona when she's on TV. I've seen her in a couple of movies recently that she did a few years ago, and she was just really nice. Like, I was really impressed. I could buy her in like an Allison Sweeney type character. So those are my two for this week. We've got to get going. I've got another date, but we're going to add a little bit more to the story real quick today. We're writing our AI. We're helping AI write a Hallmark story for us this year. And I've got this program. It's an AI writing program. You fill in some information for the AI, and then the AI will start writing a story for you. So today, We've got our characters. I just want to do, because we're running out of time, I just want to do two more characters really quickly. So we've got Holly. The name, by the way, is Christmas a la mode. Mm-hmm. Thanks to Amelia. We've got Holly, who owns an ice cream store. Holly is kind, sweet. She loves Christmas and family. She's struggling to keep up her family's ice cream shop, keep it open during the holidays. We've got Nick. Nick is a very busy businessman. Nick works for a corporation and buys ice cream shops. Nick is cold and direct. He doesn't have time for fun and he hates Christmas. We have Shalonda. We're stretching that name, but like, I just want one cultural name in this universe. Shalonda is no nonsense. She's Holly's best friend. She's supportive, but she's extremely honest. She has children and loves Christmas. And Shalonda just wants to help Holly find love. And then we have Mayor Bellsworth, who is merry, kind, generous, caring, loves gifts, puts others first, and he's magical. We need two more, and I can't believe we forgot this. We need a relative of some sort. Of Holly needs a relative, somebody to talk to, and somebody to, like, give her old people advice, and we need a precocious child. So Shalonda has children, so one of her kids can be precocious.
That's fair. So I think that maybe Holly, is she inheriting the ice cream store from like a grandpa or an uncle?
Yeah, I think this shop has been in her family for years. And so
is that the older person then? Somebody like passing it on to her?
Yeah. Should it be her dad or her aunt? Usually a lot of times people do auntie.
Let's do it.
Auntie? Mm-hmm. Aunt Kathy. I was gonna say Jessica, but that's too that's too young.
I know, and I was trying to think of a Christmassy name.
We've got Christmas in here though. We don't need to go overboard. Let's not go overboard on our
with your mayor who's Santa Claus.
Let's like keep it realistic. So Aunt Kathy is Holly's aunt. She is passing on.
Yeah, she started the ice cream store and is passing the torch to Holly.
And we just need a couple characteristics. She gives good advice.
And yes. So she gives good advice. She is a good listener. Because, I mean, I feel like basically her role is going to be listening to Holly's monologues.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Gus, did you have something to say about Aunt Kathy? Okay.
No, I think he approves. I think he says we can move on to the precocious kid. Okay, we just need a couple of things.
Precocious kid, boy or girl?
I like a precocious little boy.
I do too. Yeah. All right. What is Shalonda? Is that her name?
Shalonda, yeah.
Okay. And so his name is going to be, let's see.
It should probably be something very basic. Billy, Andrew, John, Henry, Hank.
I like John.
John.
Yeah.
John, not Jack. But it could be Jack if you want Jack Frost. But yeah, but my 18-year-old son recently found out that Jack was the nickname for John, and it about broke his brain. He really struggled with it. He was like, shut up.
Even though it doesn't make any sense.
I know. Like, hey, I told him, then I went down the list and it just tore the fabric of the space-time reality for him for a moment. So John is, let's just say he's 9 years old. Mm-hmm. He's precocious.
Obviously.
And cheerful. That's all we need. Mm-hmm. The kid really doesn't have any other qualities besides those.
Right.
Okay, that's it. So we've got Aunt Kathy and John. So definitely next episode, we're going to start filling out. We're just going to start our paragraph and then let AI fill it in now that we've got all the ancillary characters.
I love it.
Okay, so
it's going to be a beautiful film.
It's going to be a great story. I have faith that AI is going to do this justice. Okay, so Amelia, before we go, please tell everybody where they can find more of you on the internet.
You can find more of me on the internet on Twitter at Amelia Hammy, or my Growing Patriots, which is American History for Kids. You can find the books and the podcast at growingpatriots.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
And you can find me, Kira Davis, all over the place. You can find me on Twitter at Real Kira Davis. You can find me on my podcast, Just Listen to Yourself with Kira Davis. And or you can join my private community. Private community makes it sound dirty. We're not doing anything dirty over there. It's just like it's a censor-free page where we don't have to worry about advertising and anything like that at davisnation.locals.com. And look up Just Listen to Yourself with Kira Davis. That's going to be where you get most of your stuff from me. Amelia, I will let you go. But until we meet again, I wish you days filled with hand-knit stockings and customized Christmas tree toppers.
And Kira, I wish you evenings wrapped up in the biggest, warmest blanket in front of a fire that somebody else built.
That is so sweet. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
The FCB Radio Network. First-class broadcasting worldwide.